A recent Military Times poll asked for readers' thoughts on disinformation and conspiracy theories. What percent of vets and troops believe them? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
And then, you know, when asked about who is responsible for stopping the spread of disinformation, readers said that it was the duty of, you know, all individuals, of U.S. adults consuming information.
Also, the Pentagon announced a second round of humanitarian airdrops in Gaza. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. First up, a Military Times poll in coordination with the University of Alabama found that 27% of veterans and service members accept conspiracy theories like the Great Replacement Theory. For more on the poll, Military Times Veterans and Journalism Fellow Nikki Wentling joins the episode. So Nikki, first, could you lay out the parameters of the survey? How many folks were asked? What were their ideological leanings and so forth?
So yeah, Military Times set out to conduct this survey to figure out how our readers consumed news, what they thought of various extremist groups and conspiracy theories, and then what their experiences have been with disinformation. And the reason we wanted to do this was to get an idea of where readers stood on all these issues ahead of this year's presidential election, which is expected to see a lot of disinformation. You know, so knowing that, we wanted to see where our readers stood. We got the help from military veterans in journalism and professors at the University of Alabama. We launched the survey through our Early Bird newsletter. So just to give you an idea of who took it, more than 2,400 people ended up responding, and they were all part of the military community. About 70% were veterans. We know they were mostly men. About 86% were half reported they had a master's degree. Almost 70% had completed combat deployments. They represented all branches of the military, but the Army saw the highest concentration. They were also spread throughout the U.S., but more were in the Southeast than anywhere else. The survey also asked for their political ideologies. 52% said they were independents, 25% were conservatives, and 14% identified as Democrats.
But the survey didn't just ask readers their opinions. You guys literally quizzed their ability to spot reliable information versus disinformation. What kind of findings did that assessment conclude?
Right. So we did ask them, you know, their opinions and experiences with disinformation, but then, you know, they had a little test too. So there were a few interesting takeaways from this. You know, one was being that most readers said they had been targeted with disinformation. So I got feedback about the survey from several disinformation and extremism researchers, and one had seen that statistic and said, you know, it's not good that so many people have been targeted with disinformation, but it is encouraging that so many people realize that they'd been targeted. And then, you know, when asked about who is responsible for stopping the spread of disinformation, readers said that it was the duty of, you know, all individuals, of U.S. adults consuming information, and they were confident in their ability to spot disinformation. So when asked, about 92% said they thought they knew how to identify it online. So then, yeah, we put them to the test. The survey offered a few social media posts and asked them to indicate whether those posts presented credible factual information. And then about 90% were correct in their responses. That's a great sign, but it also means hundreds of people got it wrong. Scott Parrott, who's a University of Alabama professor who helped write the survey and came up with these posts and the test, you know, he said that he thought it indicated it's still important that people learn news literacy and how to spot what was real and fake online. Another interesting finding with disinformation was that, you know, most readers were confident that they themselves could spot disinformation, but far fewer thought that politicians and people in their hometowns would be able to differentiate between real and false information. So there's not as much confidence there.
And one of the notable parts of the survey was researchers found what they viewed as an alarming trend about conspiracy theories and their belief in them among veterans and service members. That includes conspiracies like, you know, QAnon, the Great Replacement Theory, a satanic cabal ruling the world is, you know, running the levers of power and media and government, and even Taylor Swift colluding with Joe Biden in a military psychological operation to get him reelected. what were the big trends there in belief of these kinds of conspiracies?
Right. So this section on extremism presented some good news and some bad news. The good being that most people who took the survey soundly rejected, you know, two prominent conspiracy theories, which are the Great Replacement Theory and QAnon, like you mentioned. The bad news was that a smaller but still alarming amount did indicate support for those theories. So I'll start with the Great Replacement. You know, if you don't know, it's a baseless idea that a group of people in the U.S. is trying to replace native-born Americans with immigrants and people of color who share their political views. That theory has notoriously been linked to multiple incidents of mass violence in recent years. And the survey asked how strongly readers agreed or disagreed with that theory. 27% said they either mostly or completely agreed with it. That amount of support falls in line with other surveys of U.S. adults in general, which have found that about, you know, one third of the country supports the conspiracy. But one interesting point in this Military Times survey was that, you know, when asked about white supremacy in general, a large number of readers rejected it and said white supremacy was a threat to national security. Yet, you know, more people agreed with the Great Replacement idea. And that's a theory that has its roots in fringe white supremacist groups. And then the other conspiracy that was asked about, like you mentioned, QAnon, the survey really tried to get at who the true believers were there, because there are a lot of theories that fall under the umbrella of QAnon. But the main tenet of it is that the government, media, and financial institutions in the U.S. are controlled by a group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who run a global sex trafficking operation. Child sex trafficking operation, that is. So survey takers were given that statement and asked about whether they agreed. And again, most said no, but 9% said they either completely or mostly agreed with it. It's hard to know, you know, where that falls in line with the rest of the U.S. population. There haven't been as many studies on how many people in the U.S. agree with various aspects of QAnon. But a poll by the Public Religion Research Institute in 2021 found that about 15% of people believe it. And a Yahoo poll from 2020 said 7% believed it then. You know, one of the researchers I spoke with described the 9% as a frankly disturbing number. So yeah, overall, this was a big mix of positives and negatives, and it gave us an idea of what people believe, where they get information, and their ability to parse out that information.
Another important story, the Pentagon announced a new batch of humanitarian aid to Gaza yesterday.
These humanitarian airdrops contribute to ongoing U.S. government efforts to provide life-saving humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza, and are part of a sustained effort to get more aid into Gaza, including by expanding the flow of aid through land corridors and routes. We continue planning for potential follow-on airborne aid delivery missions, and we'll be sure.
Pentagon Bureau Chief Megan Myers joins us from the building. Megan, thanks for joining us. What did this round of humanitarian airdrops consist of?
So it was about 36,000 MREs, meals ready to eat, so pre-made boxed meals that were packed up by soldiers and then loaded onto Air Force C-130s and dropped over Gaza. This is the second round of aid that they've done this way. There was the first shipment was on Saturday, and it was 38,000 meals packed up in the same way and dropped with C-130s.
And there have been some mentions of a maritime solution to getting humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. What are Pentagon officials saying that would look like?
So the Defense Department with USAID and, you know, local partners is looking into options for opening up a humanitarian corridor in the Mediterranean. And what the Pentagon has said is that would likely be commercial ships or contracted ships versus U.S. Navy ships, for example, with, you know, sailors bringing in the aid.
Also on your radar for today, the Justice Department announced this week that federal authorities have charged a civilian Air Force employee with sending classified information about Russia's war with Ukraine to a romantic interest through a foreign online dating service. That employee is retired Army Lieutenant Colonel David Franklin Slater. He went on to work at U.S. Strategic Command at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska and was arrested on Saturday. The charges involve him allegedly disclosing and conspiring to transmit classified intelligence in early 2022. His unidentified co-conspirator allegedly asked him to provide sensitive information regularly. The indictment accuses Slater of obliging those interests from his alleged online love interest. The Justice Department said Slater was scheduled to make an initial appearance yesterday in a court in Nebraska. Slater allegedly sent classified information from meetings like military targets and Russian military capabilities to an individual who claimed to be a woman living in Ukraine. That was done via an unnamed foreign online dating website's messaging platform. Federal officials have not said who was behind the account. Slater was charged with 2 counts of unauthorized disclosure of national defense information and 1 count of conspiracy to disclose national defense information. If convicted, he faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $250,000 per count. A Stratcom spokesperson confirmed yesterday that Slater worked in the command's logistics directorate until 2022. Slater's attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And now here's some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. China announced yesterday a 7.2% increase in its defense budget. Hungary's president formally signed a bill yesterday approving Sweden's NATO bid. That removes the last obstacle after 18 months of delays. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough is overruling previous plans to ban the famous Times Square kiss photo marking the end of World War II from all department healthcare facilities. The ban was announced internally at VA medical facilities late last month. And the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants yesterday for 2 high-ranking Russian military officers on charges linked to attacks on civilian infrastructure in Ukraine. It's only the 2nd time the global court has publicly announced arrest warrants linked to Russia's war in Ukraine. About a year ago, the court issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes. It accused him of personal responsibility for the abductions of children from Ukraine. And I feel like I'm not remembering something. Oh yes, sorry. On this day in history, in 1836, the Battle of the Alamo came to an end. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone C. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Nikki Wentling, Megan Myers, and Jonathan Lehrfeld. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Bruce. Have a great day.